Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. Today we follow the order of morning prayer on page 235 in the Lutheran Service Book. The text is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. The Reverend Kevin Robson is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministries to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Luke chapter 15. And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus, amen. At dawn's first light, the young man stirred. His body ached. His face was inches from a brownish pool, crusted with bits of mud and maybe something else. A pleading growl echoed off the interior walls of his stomach, but the snorts and horrible squeals of the nearby hogs made the workings of his internal plumbing audible only to him. The acrid stench filled his nostrils, an odor so powerful that his eyes began to tear up and he could taste the reeking filth at the back of his mouth. This was the end of his outrageous, wasteful, prodigal living. He had blown it all, from demanding, gathering, journeying, to spending and squandering, to needing, longing, once free, now enslaved. Life had descended into a putrid pigsty, and now it had come to this, a final approach to death by starvation. Have you ever been there? That moment of crisis when you looked around and asked yourself the same question. What am I doing here? When God allows you to wander for a time and has you pondering your circumstances in the midst of life's hog stink. Our journeys to all the wrong places don't happen overnight. Sin breaks in, continually doing what sin does, relentlessly breaking relationships that ought never be broken, destroying, severing, abandoning. In the parable, a thankless son saying to Dad, "I don't need you anymore. Give me what I want, but then I'm leaving. I want nothing more to do with you and this family. You're dead to me." And he steals away with the family's wealth and well-being, irrationally offered, appallingly distributed from a father's outrageous generosity. But now it finally comes to this. An ever-grieved, ever-faithful, ever-living father who saw it all. This, my son, is dead. Jesus doesn't shy away from telling an uncomfortable story about such painful family conflict. He's making a parabolic point to a bunch of sneering Pharisees who don't like him going around announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God. He's here. He's the obedient son of the Father, the promised Messiah, breaking into our pig pens, teaching, talking, healing, forgiving, destroying the works of the devil, restoring, eating, celebrating with sinners and tax collectors, putting everything right that had gone so horribly wrong. Without any merit or worthiness in sinner Pharisees of every stripe, without anything worth loving in you or me, broken in our sinful doings and undoings. The young man would crest the hill, still a long way off, even as his father stood watch and peered down that lonely road, wondering, hoping, praying. The time had come, as it does for you, for me, for all of us. Repent. As did this son who was made alive within the all-encompassing embrace of his father's grace. That's where your confession and absolution truly belongs, bathed in an ocean of relentless, lavish, unconditional divine love. That's what the Bible calls grace. undeserved forgiveness, all for Christ's sake. You confess within that grasp of this Father's grace, not on your credentials, but on the merit of Jesus alone. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by such forgiveness spoken from the mouth of your pastor, your sins have been utterly forgiven by God in heaven. No matter how many they may be numbered, even if they smell worse than a hog farm, there your Father gathered you in as you were, reeking, rebellious, lost. He placed a baptismal robe of Christ's righteousness upon you. He slipped the signet ring on your finger, marking you as one of the family. These are now yours to wear forever. He has embraced you with a love that doesn't want or expect or ask for deals or bargains. With no attempt on your part at some sort of a make good, as in, make me as one of your hired hands. And certainly not with the absurd claim of having earned such grace, as in, I've never disobeyed you. In a quiet moment with his disciples, before that looming cross of pure divine grace, from which would flow freely the sacrificial atoning blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus would say, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Could it possibly be that good, that true, that extravagantly prodigal? Yes. By the Father's outrageous promise, hope is transformed into reality. The older son met it in a sound of a party. Do you hear it? Steals on the ear that distant triumph song. The great hymn of praise that rings forth from a heavenly host in paradise drawing ever near, whose bliss exceeds that of any festive gathering upon the earth. There will be more joy in heaven before the angels of God over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who need no repentance. And eating, let us celebrate, for these brothers and sisters were dead, yet are alive again. They were lost and are found. The Father had to celebrate because his Son was dead and is alive again. The Father rejoices and celebrates over you in Jesus only, because in him only do you die and live as well. You were lost in sin, but now you are found in Jesus. There has to be rejoicing. There has to be a party. That is simply outrageous. Outrageously good. In the name of Jesus. Amen.